This morning to have Dr. Tom Sexton with us, and we appreciate, I've known Tom for, I'm trying to decide, probably been 25, 30 years, I'll be honest, because I've been going to the Sword, direct the Sword Music for 20 years. Yeah. So I know it was before that, yeah. And so it's been a good while. He pastors in Cape Coral, Florida, and a beautiful place down there right along the Gulf Coast Baptist Church, and has been down, how long have you been there? I was going to say close to 30, 27 years. And you started that church, if I remember right. Started it. And was saved when actually he was already married. I think you had a child by then.
Yes.
And when all that happened, and you'll let him tell the story. I love. Maybe you'll tell us sometime before the week's over here, how he got saved and all those kind of things. But listen, listen, and I'm not saying this because I know his testimony. The fact is, don't ever think that you're outside of God's reach. Don't ever think that God can't use you. And I've used you for an illustration quite a few times. And I'll tell you one of them was. The illustration was when you got saved, you told your preacher, is there anything I can do to help around church? And he asked you to do what?
Check the toilets.
I told him, I said, check, make sure the paper's in the toilet's there and everything's clean, ready to go. And I said, no, wait a minute. You be faithful in little, God make your ruler over much. And that was my point. Fact is, you know, you think, well, God can't use me. Too many people looking for a position rather than for a place to serve. You look for a place to serve, God will give you a place to serve. There's always some place to serve. And you take that, God, you just be happy that God allows you to serve. And the fact is, sometimes he'll move you to places you never thought possible.
Yeah. Amazing.
We were talking about that on the way down from the airport yesterday. I appreciate him being here. You be an encouragement to him. I know he'll be an encouragement to us, and we're glad to have you this week. Give us what's on your heart, sir.
Amen. Thank you, preacher. God bless you. I love it, don't you? I love it. I love to hear families sing together and serve together. I know. Yeah. I'm a bit of a hypochondriac. I think I've got what everybody else has. I can hardly visit the hospital if somebody's had a heart attack. My wife knows, you know. I'm subject to think I have one before I get out of there. It's terrible. So I feel, you know, when a lady's having a baby, I really. I know. Lord is good, isn't he? And, you know, I'm glad I'm Tom Sexton. I really am. I'm terrible. Listen, I'm the world's worst at names, the absolute worst. We got a dear lady, and she's just a sweet, sweet old lady, and I've talked to her husband several times, and I said to her, I said, Joan, I'm trying to encourage your husband, I said, and he just won't hardly talk to me. Does he prefer to be called Tom or Thomas? She said, well, Pastor, he'd love to be called James. That's his name. Maybe I'll try that. Everybody ought to be Tommy, don't you think? The whole world. I like it. When I was a little boy, I was Ruby's boy. And then I was my brother's brother. Oh, that's Clarence's brother. And then I have two younger sisters. When they got older, I was Catherine's brother and Sheila's brother. Then I got married and I became Nancy's husband. We have children, and I was Mandy's father, then Michelle's father. And, you know, I just want to be me. But I'm glad just to be in the family, aren't you? And I thank the Lord for your pastor. I do. I appreciate it. And I'm just so thrilled. I'm sitting here today just rejoicing all that God's done. What a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Savior. And, you know, he's got something for everyone to do. I learned many years ago, Dr. J.R. Faulkner came in my office twice in all the years I was on staff with Dr. Robertson, Dr. Faulkner. He just came twice in my office, and he said, I wrote a little sign I'm going to put on the wall, and he put it on the wall, and he talked to me about it, and then he left, and the sign said, think of ways to put people to work. And he said, Tom, there's a job for everybody. One of these days, we're going to meet the Lord, and every man's going to give an account of his work, what sort it is. And it just stands to reason, if every man's going to give an account of his work, then It just stands to reason that there's a work for every man. So we want to help people find it. We have little children after our service. Every Sunday morning I watch them. And they'll come over from their service and they'll go through the auditorium, pick up papers, fix songbooks. People run in the restrooms, fix things, make sure everything's going. And just watch them go around and take care of things like that. And that encourages me as a pastor. It encouraged me to watch people put everything in its place so we're ready for tonight's service. And, you know, one of these days the Lord's coming and we've got to give people something to do. The pastor gave me my first job. My first job was to make sure that the restrooms were ready after Sunday school. They were ready for the service. And it didn't seem like that big a deal to many people, but it was a big deal to me. He was counting on me, and I did it. And then the next thing you know, I was doing this and this and this and this and this. And now I'm here. God's good, isn't he? How many like to take notes? How many brought a piece of paper with you today? Good. Mm-hmm. How many like to draw and make things in church? Do you? We had a little lady, you know, I was talking in Sunday school about encouraging people. I had a little lady, a young girl, she's 10 years old, and I was preaching on encouraging people, and she was drawing the whole time, you know, it's okay, she's listening. She's drawing the whole time. And then about toward the end of my message, I said, everybody needs encouragement. Even the pastors need encouragement. And then I told a story about Dr. Robertson's wife said to me, it's been 6 months since anybody said anything positive about Lee's messages. I felt funny calling him Lee, you know. And I said, well, I do. She says, you don't count. I said, okay. And I said, every once in a while, she was just cutting up with me, you know, because I was on staff. But every once in a while, I said, preachers need encouragement. And this little girl's drawing on this paper. When she got through the service, she came up to me and she handed me the drawing. And it was our pianist. She was playing and blonde-headed. And had a dress that she playing the piano. And she had on the top of it, thank you for all you do to help people. And she wrote her name at the bottom. And she was giving it to the pianist. But in the middle of my sermon, she decided that I needed it more than her. And so she changed her, she marked through her name, and she put my name, Pastor. And she wrote a little note at the bottom. I'm sorry it's a woman, but by the time I thought of giving it to you, it was too late. It's one of my real treasures, you know. I have it in my study at home. I'm sorry it's a woman, but by the time I thought of giving it to you, it was too late. And I thought, God bless you. I love people, don't you? I love it when people try to do something to help you. Thank God for that. And I love you, Pastor. And I really mean that. And I thank God for his precious family. And you are blessed. I mean, I've heard him preach. He's a good preacher. And he's a good song leader. And he's a good singer. I hope he can't cook. Thank you. You know, it's something, you know. But I do love him. Thank God for him. And enthusiasm's contagious, isn't it? And, you know, somebody said, if you don't have it, pretend you've got it. I believe that, don't you? If you have your Bible, I want you to turn to the book of James, chapter number 4. James, chapter number 4 with me. And we're going to read a verse this morning and pray, and then I want you to ask the Lord to help us. I know that you pray, and there's nowhere in the world that God would have accomplished all that's been accomplished here on this place if you hadn't been praying, people. I want you to pray the Lord really use these meetings. Your pastor's doing something that very few people do, and that is encouraging preachers. And I thank God that he does that. And thank God for this church and hosting the meeting you're going to host and bringing in the pastors. There are men that just would throw in the towel if they could do it and get away with it. And your presence, you're shaking their hand. You're patting them on the back and say, God bless you for standing in this part of the country for God, could mean the difference in God doing this in other places. Now, I want to encourage you to be here. It doesn't matter how many preachers comes. If you're not here, it won't be the same. Because your spirit is what makes this place special. Your spirit. The joy and sing. I watched you go around and shake hands with folk and hug friends and say hello to people. You can truly say, every visitor is welcomed and you'll find a friend. By the way, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. But churches ought to be known as a place you can find a friend. And these pastors and Christian workers are going to be here. And it would be a blessing if you're able to be here for those services, and especially in the evening services. And just come with one purpose, to shake hands with people and pastors and say, God bless you. Stay after it for God. Amen. If you have your Bible now, look with me to James chapter number 4. The Bible says in verse number 14, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a moment, a little time, and then vanish away. The Bible says, for what is your life? Father, dear Lord, I thank you again for your goodness. And I ask you, Lord, that you might help me today, that you might anoint me fresh and new with your Spirit. And Lord Jesus, that you would take the simple truth that you've given me and help me, Lord, to say the things that's pleasing to thee. And Lord Jesus, I ask you to open the hearts and minds of people. May they understand, may they see, may they believe. Lord Jesus, if there's one here this morning that's not sure they're going to heaven, then Lord, may this day be their day of salvation. And when we leave here today, we'll thank you, praise you. For we ask it in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. The Bible says, what is your life? That's the title of my message. What is your life? What is your life? Now, if you have a pencil and a piece of paper, I want you to do something. I want you to draw a straight line. I think everybody can do that. Just a straight line. Draw a straight line. On the left side of that line, I want you to put an X. Just put an X. Straight line. On the left side, an X. On the right side, put an X. On the left side, above that X, I want you to write this word, born. Born. How many know that you were born? Good. It's important. I just want to make sure I'm speaking to humans. When I was a young Christian, my pastor used to have people get up and give testimonies. And I thought, I don't have testimony. And then one day I read in the Bible, a verse, a statement, and I said, wow, I'm sure that's happened to me. So the next time, testimony time, I raised my hand. He said, yes, Tom, and I was a new Christian. I said, Brother Riley, I'm just glad that I've had the opportunity to entertain angels unaware. Huh? I said, I'm glad I had the opportunity to entertain angels unaware. He said, I'm glad you did too. He knew he had a long way to go. What he didn't know is I'm talking about fallen angels. But, you know, thank God for people that love you and take you where you are and help you, right? You know, I can only, he's in heaven today and God bless him. I used to take him with me to meetings, you know. He and I'd cut up and I just love him dearly. Look forward to seeing him again. What a man of God. What a man. Loved me, helped me, taught me so much about people, loving people, helping people. I asked him to help me, and he did. My wife and I went to his home. We sat at his table, kitchen table, and I said to he and his wife, I said, we have no idea how to make this work, but if it's in the Bible, would you teach us? He said, I will. And he did. Thank God. On the left side of that line, write the word born. On the right side, write this word die. I don't think anyone knows when they're going to die. But die. And then I want you to take your pen and mark that line where you think you are this morning. Put a mark on that line. Go ahead. Do it. On the left side of that mark, I want you to write this word, gone. Gone. I don't care who you are, there's nothing you can do to bring back one moment that you have lived. It's gone. Now, the Lord Jesus said in Mark's gospel, if you gave your life to Him in the gospel's sake, you save it. If you didn't, you lost it. But it's gone. If you live for God, it's waiting on you, the judgment seat of Christ. Hallelujah for that. But it's gone. If you've got failure, you've got difficulties, things that happened you would to God never happened, claim Philippians 3:13, forgetting those things which are behind and press on. But it's gone. And on the right side of that, write mind to live. Mind to live. There's really nothing we can do about yesterday. We can ask God to give us His grace and strength and courage, and courage to live for Him. It's gone. So I want to talk to you today about life. What is your life? What is it? Now, what does the Bible say about it? First of all, the Bible says that life is brief. It's very brief. The Word of God says, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then it vanish away. We think of people in their 80s and 90s as being old, but the truth of the matter is, they're just a vapor. We had one of our good men, Jack Prince, went home to be with the Lord. He was a World War II veteran. He died many years ago. He's one of my encouragers. And oh, Brother Prince, he was on a battleship, and his bunk was under one of the big guns, and he couldn't hear anything. And he had two hearing aids that they would squeal and squeak, and he'd tune them in, and I mean, it almost pierce your ears. He'd get to, then they'd stop, and he'd go, you knew he was tuned in. All right, we're ready. Oh, Brother Prince, God bless. Listen, there was never a week he didn't invite less than 100 people to church. Never a week. And he got people to go with him. He said, I told God when we were on Normandy Beach, he said, I told God if He let me live, he was holding a light for the Marines. He said, I told God, if you let me live, I'll hold a light for Jesus. And he was true to his word. What a man. He died. He was almost 90. And some of our young people said, we had an old man die. I said, what? It's just a vapor. Our life is just a vapor. It appears for a moment, then vanishes away. Well, it was yesterday that I met my wife when I was in high school. It was just yesterday that we got married. It was just yesterday that our children were born and I was holding my first little girl. That was yesterday. It was just yesterday when I married her to her husband, and it was just yesterday that my grandchildren were born. And now I've seen two of my grandchildren married. My goodness, Time has flown. Life is a vapor. It appeareth for a moment, and then it vanished away. Number two, life is only lived one time. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, judgment. Life is only lived one time, just one time. You don't get to live it twice. You don't get a repeat, just one time. You just, one life, that's it. One life. No matter what people teach, no matter what they believe, people just live one time. That's it. One life. And that's one life God's given us. Number three, life doesn't end with death. The Lord Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. John 10, 27, 28. Never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. God gives life. Life doesn't end with death. As a matter of fact, this may shock you, but every person that has ever lived is still alive today. Now, the Bible says in the book of Luke, chapter number 16, the Lord Jesus preached this sermon in Luke, chapter number 16, and he told about two men. One was a rich man, which fared sumptuously and had everything in the world to live with. And the other was a beggar named Lazarus. And the Bible says that he laid at fed up the crumbs from the rich man's table. And the Word of God says that Lazarus died. I want you to turn there, if you would, please, in Luke chapter number 16. The Word of God says, and Lazarus died. He died. Verse 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the Word of God says, and the rich man died also. Now the Bible says, and that he was buried, in verse 30, 23, and in hell lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeing Abraham afar off. The Lord Jesus said, Lazarus died, and he went to heaven. The rich man died and went to a devil's hell. I say devil's hell because God never created hell for people. The Bible says he created hell for the devil and his angels. And the rich man died and went to a devil's hell. This was many centuries ago. Both of those men are still alive today. God told us, What the rich man said when he went to the devil's hell, he said he's tormented. He wanted a touch of water. Nothing has changed about his life and his torment. God doesn't tell us what Lazarus said. You can only imagine. Wow. You see, life doesn't end with death. I went to a funeral many years ago. It was the funeral of a young preacher, and he was a missionary. He came home from the mission field because he had cancer, he had brain cancer. And he went home to be with the Lord when he was 40 years old. They had his service at First Baptist Church of West Hollywood many years ago. Chuck Doan. And I went to his funeral service. I did not have a pencil and piece of paper on me, but I wished I had it because I would have written down so many things. But Chuck Doan did something unusual. Here's what he said. He told his friend, I've written out my own message, and I want you to read it word for word, and please don't make any comments. Just read what I have written. And his friend, who was a pastor, said, I'll do it. And so at that funeral service, Chuck Doan's body was in the front. The casket was closed. And his dear friend got up and read word for word what he had written. And he said some things that were so powerful. He said that the sickness and suffering that he'd gone through had helped him get closer to God. And he was so grateful for the suffering. That was shocking. He said, the more I suffered, the more of God that I desire. Wow. He said, I don't want the things of this world. I just want God. That was powerful. And then he said, I've learned the treasures of life. The treasure of life, he said, is time. He said, the time that you get to spend with your loved ones and friends, the time you get to spend with people who love you and people you love, that's the real treasure of life. Not all the things that we work to get, not all the things that we labor to have, but the time that God gives us with people. That time, those memories, are life's greatest treasures. Boy, I agree with that, don't you? And then he said, death is not dying. He said, you're here today because you heard that Chuck Doan died. He said, don't believe it. And he said this, what you saw happen on the outside never happened on the inside. I didn't see death. I didn't die. I'm more alive today than I've ever been in my life. He says, I'm with Jesus. Don't you believe that I died. I'm just in another place. You know, that's powerful. What is your life? It is a vapor. It's only lived one time. It doesn't end with death. As a matter of fact, there'll be a day when you and I, if the Lord doesn't come, are going to leave this world and go be with God. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. One of our dear men, Brother Rick Dugan, oh, he's just one of the great Christians at our church. Rick got saved. I remember when he got saved. His wife got saved, and Rick got saved later, a couple of weeks later. Rick was a fisherman. He worked, he trained doctors and medical personnel. That's what he did all of his life. But he loved to fish. He loved to fish. And he'd take people fishing, and he'd witness to people on the water, and he was quite a fisherman. And it was because that he spent so much time on the water that he got a little spot, cancer on his shoulder. Rick, when he got saved, wanted to do something for God, and I said, well, I'll train you. You can go with me. And he visited with me for quite a while, and then he grew, and then he became a Sunday school teacher, and then he became the teacher of the Cape Coral Bible class. It was the best class in our church. And he taught that for several years. He was a member of our church 17 years. But when he went to the doctor looked at it, and he said, it was a personal friend of Rick's, and he said, Rick, this is the worst thing that I could tell you. We've got the test back. He said, you've got cancer, melanoma, but it's not just what you think. He said, this is the worst possible cancer you can have. And then he said to Rick, 6 months, you'll be dead. Wow. He didn't feel sick. Well, I'm going to tell you, it was just shy of 6 months when Rick went home to be with the Lord. But he taught Sunday school and stayed faithful as long as he could. I loved Rick. I mean, I did. Everybody loved Rick Dugan. We have never been able to replace Rick in our ministry. What a powerful Christian. He just got sicker, sicker. They moved him into hospice, and I'd go in to see him and spend as much time as I could with him. I went home. He was just there a few days. I went home. One evening, his wife called me and said, "Pastor Rick's, I don't think Rick's going to live through the night." I said, "Well, I'll get up early and be there in the morning." And so I did. And she said, "Call me when you're coming. I'm going to run home and change and come right back." So I went in the room, and Rick was there, and they didn't know he was going to make it through the night. He was there, and they had the television blasting. I said, "Oh." So I turned the TV off, and the nurse came in. I said, "He hates the news." "Okay." She said, "Well, listen, be quiet. Be quiet. Let him rest." I said, "Okay." So I'm sitting over in the corner, and he's in a coma, you know. And I start reading John chapter 14. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God?" And Rick said, "Believe in me also." And he started quoting the chapter. I said, "God bless you, Rick." "God bless you, Pastor." Never opened his eyes. I said, "I love you, Rick." "I love you, Pastor." I read a few more verses. Rick played in the orchestra and sang in the choir and taught the adult Sunday school class, headed up our soul winning. I said, "I love you, Rick." "I love you." And I said, "There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar." And then Rick started singing. "In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore." And he just sang some more. I called his wife and said, "Doris, Rick's singing." She came just a short time after that. She just ran home to change and came back. His son had not gotten there yet. He was driving, and I called his son on the phone and put his daddy on the phone. And I said, "Randy, your dad's getting ready to go to heaven, and he's singing." And Rick never stopped. "In the sweet by and by, put the phone by on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, there'll be no beer in the sweet." Oh, God bless you, Rick. I said, "Randy, Randy's a good Christian." He said, "Preacher, I'm going to try to get there as quick as I can." His wife came in. He's singing. We could not get over it. Then he said, "Preacher, the angels are here. The angels are here." I said, "Rick, is Jesus here?" "No, just the angels. But I can see, sweet, by and by, the angels are here." And in just a few moments, he reached over, tapped his wife's arm, said, "Bye-bye." He was gone. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. What is your life? Just a vapor. Pure for a little time. Vanish away. I thought about that. I thought about what Chuck Doan had written in his message. My wife and I were out of town. One morning I woke up and God gave me a thought about it. You know, the Bible says that death is a gift. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 21-23. All things are yours, whether Paul, Apollos, Cephas. He goes on to talk about things present, things to come, life. And he says, life and death, it's all yours. Death's a gift. The Lord Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapter 8, he that believeth in me shall not see death. Won't see it. When Stephen died, he said, I see Jesus. He saw Jesus. I thought, can you imagine? We see Jesus. You know, in the Old Testament, a valley in the shadow. But when Jesus rose from the grave, death was defeated. He's given victory. Death cannot hold you. And I was thinking, and I wrote a little poem, The Gift of Death. There are no shadows in death with Jesus. There are no valleys we must walk through. Death is only a doorway, and all of heaven awaits you. Our vision on earth is limited. We see only into the blue. But in death, our vision is endless. All of glory comes into view. Death takes hold of the body, and our race on earth is through. The battle for us is over. With open arms, he welcomes you. So fear not the end of life's journey. Believe what God says is true. Death has been defeated, and now it is his gift to you. What is your life? It's just a vapor. It's only lived one time. It doesn't end with death. And every person is going to spend eternity in one of two places. Now, what makes the difference is what you do with Jesus. The Lord Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. John chapter 1 verse 11, the Bible says, he came into his own and his own received him not. But as many as receive him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now how can Jesus give eternal life? How is he able to do that? How can the Lord Jesus give us life that when we die, we go to heaven? How can he do it? They asked, how can he forgive sin? Well, because he paid our sin debt in full. See, the Bible says that we're all sinners. The Word of God says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. The Bible says in Romans 3:10, there's none righteous, no, not one. We're all sinners. And the Word of God says sin must be paid for. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. Now that death is more than just physical death. It's eternal separation from God. You see, we're sinners because we're born sinners. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse number 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into this world, and death passed upon all men. In other words, we all inherited a sinful nature from Adam. We're all sinners because we're born sinners. Our sin doesn't make us sinners. It proves that we're sinners. That's why the Bible says, there's none righteous, no, not one. It just takes one sin to prove that you're a sinner. It doesn't take one sin to make you a sinner. It just takes one sin for you to believe that you're a sinner. Children, you can watch children. How many have raised children? You ever try to tell children to do right and then they do wrong? My little grandson did something he shouldn't have done, and I looked at him. He's 2.5 years old. I caught him in the very act. I said, you do that? He said, no. Wow. learn lying from your father, my son-in-law. No. He inherited that. It's not how bad we are. It's how good God is. There's none righteous, no, not one. See, the Lord Jesus wasn't born like you and I. He is God's only begotten Son. The Bible says in Galatians chapter number 4, in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them. You see, the Lord Jesus was not Joseph's son. He's God's only begotten Son. He didn't inherit the same nature you and I inherited. He was not born a sinner. He is sinless. The Bible says, when they examined him, Pilate said, I find no fault in him. He said, there's no reason I should kill him. And they said, we have a law, John chapter number 19, verse 7. By our law, he ought to be condemned because he made himself the Son of God. They said, he needs to be killed because he said he's God. He was sinless. He didn't have to die. But what happened on Calvary is God took your sin and my sin, the sin of the whole world, and God put it on Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, for he made him to be sin for us. He took your sin, my sin, the sin of every person who's ever lived, and God put all that sin on Jesus, and he died for us. The Bible says that when he died, God turned his back on Jesus. You see, God's holy, and he cannot look on sin. And when God made him to be sin for us, when God put our sin on Jesus, God turned his back, and the Lord Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? There was a darkness on this earth. The darkest day in all of human history is when Jesus died for our sin. The good news is, on the third day, he rose from the grave. And he's able to give life. The Bible says he came unto his own in John chapter 1, verse 11. His own received him not, but as many as receive him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor the will of flesh, of man, but of God. You see, when a person receives Christ, they're born into the family of God. And that means they'll never die. Oh, their body may die, but they don't see it. We see it. We watch it, but they don't see it. Because the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. What a promise. What a promise. The Lord has prepared a place for us. He's prepared a place for all those who put their trust and faith in Him. On July the 22nd, 1976, I was sitting in the back of a service. I was 26 years old. My brother, who's a preacher, was preaching that night, and he preached on Andrew found his own brother, Simon Peter, and brought him to Christ. That night, I knew that God loved me. I heard that the Lord Jesus died for me. But that night, I did something I'd never done before. I received the Lord as my Savior. And God saved me. What a night. My life's never been the same. Never been the same. If you would have asked me before that night if I was going to heaven, I'd say, yeah, sure, I'm going to heaven. I think I've been better than I've been bad. I think my good's going to outweigh my bad. I had no idea that one sin, going to a devil's hell because I'm a lost sinner. Wow. I thought I'd go to heaven because my brother's a preacher. It's not a blood. The only way a person goes to heaven is they do what the Bible says do. The Word of God says that if we will acknowledge that we're a sinner and believe that Jesus died for us, if we're willing to call upon the Lord, Romans chapter 10, verse 9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Settled. It's that simple. That's the difference in where people spend eternity. Now, what is your life? Is it a life that's going to continue in heaven? Or is it a life that's going to end up in the devil's hell? Let's bow our heads. In just a moment, we're going to pray. With our heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, I want to ask you one of the most important questions anyone will ever ask you. Now, here's the question. God forbid that you died today. But here's the question. If you died today, are you 100% sure that heaven's going to be your home? How many could say, I know I'm going to heaven? With our heads bowed and eyes closed, how many could say that? Would you lift your hand? Thank you. God bless you. You can put your hands down. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking. This morning, we're going to have an invitation. But with our heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here this morning and you could not raise your hand a moment ago, but this morning you would say, Brother Sexton, I want you to pray for me. I'd like to know that I too am going to heaven. I'd like to know that. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to ask the instruments to play something softly. But with our heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, you say, I do not know for sure I'm going to heaven. I do not know for sure I'm going to heaven. I want you to pray for me. Please pray for me. How many would say, that's me? Would you lift your hand? God bless you. God bless you. Please pray for me, you say. How many others this morning say, please pray for me. Please pray for me. Father, I pray for these this morning. I pray, Lord, for these that raised their hand, that you would give them peace in their heart. Help them to do what you want them to do. May they trust you this morning. For others, dear Lord, that could not raise their hand a moment ago, but maybe are shy about raising their hand now, I ask you, Lord, to help them to see that you love them, that you want them to spend eternity with you. Give them the courage and faith to receive you this morning. We'll thank you. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can know you're going to heaven as simple as ABCs. Acknowledge you're a sinner. Believe that Jesus died for you and call upon him. Now this morning I'm going to say a prayer similar to the one that I prayed many years ago. And God promised in his word that if we would ask him, he would save us. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now this morning, with our heads bowed and eyes closed, here's the prayer. You can pray it this morning, right where you're seated. Lord, I know that I am a sinner. I believe that you died and rose again for me. Come into my heart and save me. And help me to live for you and to be a good Christian. In Jesus' name. With our heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, how many would say, Brother Sexton, I prayed that prayer just now, and I'm not ashamed. I prayed that prayer, and I'm not ashamed. How many would say, that was me. I prayed that prayer, and I'm not ashamed. Would you lift your hand? God bless you. God bless you. And God bless you. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you. You say, I prayed that prayer this morning, and I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. I prayed that prayer, and I'm not ashamed. God bless you. Now, if you prayed that prayer and you're not ashamed, I want you to look at me just a second. No one else is looking. Now, this morning, did you mean business for the Lord? Did you? I know something about this pastor. I know that he loves you. And I know something about this church. I know they love you. And they want to help you. They want to help you in your newfound faith. They want to help you reach your family and to do something for God with your life. But they can't help you if you don't let them. Now, in just a moment, we're going to sing an invitation. Nobody's going to ask you to do anything you don't want to do. But if you trusted the Lord this morning, I want you to come and just take the pastor's hand and let him know this morning that you trusted the Lord, and he'll encourage and pray for you this morning. If you're here this morning and you say, Brother Sexton, God's spoken to my heart. I want my life to count. I want my life to count. Maybe today the Lord will use this service to help you move forward. And from this day forward, do something that's going to count for time and eternity. Maybe you're looking for a church home. I'll tell you this. If I lived anywhere near this place, this is the church that I would put my life and my family in. This is it. Maybe you're a member of this church, but you've gotten away from things. Just come this morning, find a place and say, Lord, help me, help me. Now, Lord, we thank you for your goodness. I pray for these that trusted you this morning. Lord Jesus, may they come today and let someone pray with them and encourage them and help them in their newfound faith. Help those who are struggling in life, strengthen them. Help others come this morning that you've spoken to their heart. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Let's stand if you would, please.